Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Bitcoin Banter. Rick and Tony are here with me. Gentlemen, let's jump right into the news. And the news is that Donald Trump doesn't understand Bitcoin. So Gladiator shared at the 100K party, he was talking to someone who worked on the bill with Senator Lummis, and Trump views Bitcoin as the stock market for young people. His point in this was, I think, optimism that Trump checks in on the price and he thinks a strategic reserve is more likely. I think that equating Bitcoin to the stock market for young people is about as off the mark as you can get, though, as to what Bitcoin represents and functions as. So, Rick, I'll let you take this one first. What's your reaction?
Yeah. Oh, man. It's kind of funny, right? Like, clearly, Bitcoin is nothing like the stock market. I think probably what's happening there is he's equating crypto in general to the stock market, right? Like he's probably still in that phase of understanding where he understands that there's Bitcoin and he understands there's all these shit coins and he hasn't quite figured out that Bitcoin and crypto are not the same thing. Because, you know, like most of us already know, if you do enough reading and you do enough research, you realize that Bitcoin is money, right? It's nothing like the stock market. So yeah, I mean, I don't know if I blame Trump for thinking that, right? Because an awful lot of people, when they get into Bitcoin, they go on this sort of journey of misunderstanding in the first few phases, right? And they start messing with shit coins and all this other stuff before they realize. And the other thing is, like, I'm sure everyone's noticed the narratives at the moment, you know, that are being pushed from a lot of places are that Bitcoin is a speculative asset. It's something that you invest in order to make a profit in dollars, right? So with all that sort of swirling around, I think it's quite difficult for new people in the space not to sort of understand that Bitcoin is something different. And I think Bitcoin, Donald Trump, you know, he's fairly new to Bitcoin, it seems. I think he's just going through the same journey that everybody else is. I mean, look, you know, I don't want to drone on about how Bitcoin is money. You know, we've written articles about this. There's one on our website called Bitcoin is Not a Speculative Asset that people could go and check out, where we talk about this in a bit more depth. But yeah, I mean, all of that tweet was quite interesting, right? Then you've got Senator Lummis talking about a strategic Bitcoin reserve, and everybody for some reason is celebrating their government buying Bitcoin. And I'm thinking, like, wouldn't you rather there weren't huge buys in the market so you could acquire some for yourself? Yeah, I think we're going to see more of this in 2025. This narrative of Bitcoin is not money, it's a speculative asset, and you don't actually use it to transact. You know, you've got the ETFs, you've got the MicroStrategy stock as like a Bitcoin proxy, you've got people leaving their money with custodians, and you've got strategic Bitcoin reserves. It's all being positioned as Bitcoin is more like gold than it is, you know, a money that you would use every day. So I think that probably sets my marketing strategy for the rest of the year, right? Which is essentially trying as hard as we can to push back against that unhelpful narrative and let people know that no, Bitcoin is a tool that you're meant to use. If you want the freedom, you have to use the tool. So it's something we've seen before, and I guess maybe Trump needs some better advisors around him is the takeaway I'd have from that.
What confuses me about this whole situation is let's assume for a second Trump really intends on a strategic Bitcoin reserve. That means to some degree he does understand the fundamentals of Bitcoin. Like he understands that it could serve as a reserve asset, even though, yes, I agree with you, it's more broadly speaking money. And he's not talking about other cryptocurrencies being a part of that reserve asset bucket from what anything I've heard, at least. And so why then would he also... why would he simultaneously view it as a stock market for young people? Like, to me, those two things don't add up. And maybe the strategic reserve is not going to happen and he doesn't get it. And that's just like a talking point to win Bitcoiner votes or something. I don't know. But yeah, I think we'll know in the next few months, you know, maybe in the next couple of weeks even. So we'll find out. Tony, what do you think?
Well, I mean, to answer this question, you have to understand the man, right? I mean, Trump, as great as he is, he's also like someone who loves attention. and popularity, right? So, I mean, he may not fully understand Bitcoin now, but he does understand that this is like the next big thing and it's got a massive backing of people behind it. So even though he may not fully comprehend, you know, what's at stake here, he understands that if he can get all these people on his side, at least initially, you know, it gets him closer to the win that he's after. I'm also on the side that he doesn't fully understand it, because I genuinely believe he's still thinking in dollars and he thinks this is going to make, you know, the dollar better. But I don't think this is what's going to happen. I think a strategic reserve actually kills the dollar, because in his head, he might be, you know, this whole strategy might work to weaken the dollar, but maybe strengthen the dollar system. Maybe that's what they're thinking, but I don't think it really works that way. I don't know how this is going to turn into, but I think this is something along the lines of how I think he may be viewing it. It's, you know, like this next big thing, and he wants to be the first one and the best one at it, even though he doesn't really understand how it all works, but they'll figure that out later, you know. So that's like being the first is what matters. Understanding why they're the first, you know, comes next, sort of thing. And I think he's got a good team behind him. And they're also learning. I mean, everybody's still learning in this space. Even we're still learning. We discover and, you know, pick up on new things every single day. I mean, the world has never seen Bitcoin. So there's going to be a lot of aspects around it that, you know, we're going to be witnessing for the first time as well. But all in all, you know, like a big country like the United States adopting Bitcoin, you know, and, you know, putting, you know, their full power behind it is definitely good for the asset. Whether it harms or hurts the dollar, it's to be seen. But I think it's going to kill the dollar, because Bitcoin is money. So at the very least, in the short term, it'll provide a direct competitor to the dollar, which I think won't be hard for folks to realize is the better pick, because it comes with no centralization, no permission required, no inflation, none of that garbage that's associated with fiat, you know, is found in Bitcoin. So I don't think it'll take people, you know, that long to put one and one together and, you know, pick that going forward.
Yeah, and he's being handed an absolute mess of a scenario. Not that it wasn't under him as well, but like, I mean, debt at all-time highs.
Yeah, well, there's that too, yes.
Yeah, so like, he might have to figure this out sooner than later to just for the betterment of our country, the world, because things could get really ugly. I told you guys I'm reading Gradually Then Suddenly by Parker Lewis, and I heard him on a podcast recently too, and he thinks the dollar is done in the next decade, and he's a smart guy. I mean, I'm sure people have different opinions about him, but he's sharp, and I don't think he probably says that flippantly. It'll be interesting to see how quickly Trump figures this out and what that might mean for any action he takes or legislative action in Congress or anything like that. So time will tell. If you're listening, we will be watching, and I'm sure we'll be talking about it more than we care to. All righty. Up next, we've got the IRS delayed new Bitcoin tax reporting rules until early 26, giving brokers more time to comply with cost basis regulations for centralized platforms. So we're not tax accountants. This isn't our area of expertise, but I think it's interesting. So basically what it looks like in my research is they're complicating they were going to be complicating the tax code. You would have to establish and report cost basis across different exchanges and wallets that you have for any Bitcoin or I guess crypto that you purchased. And they're pushing that now to 2026. I think I had maybe misunderstood it as for individuals that I would have to report if I bought a half a Bitcoin, I would have to report the cost basis to the IRS, even if I didn't do anything with it. I didn't sell it or, you know, gift it or something like that. But it sounds like this is more for brokers. Tony, well, last comment on that. As I was saying before that we started recording, my sense is maybe the IRS and some of these agencies who feel like they're going to be under a microscope in the Trump administration are being a little bit cautious about the things that they're doing, especially the more onerous, senseless regulations and requirements. But Tony, I'd be curious to hear your opinion.
Yeah, man, these are the dirty scumbags playing dirty scumbag games. You know, they announced this like last minute, you know, like like a week before year's end, they announced that, you know, they want people to do this or something close to that. I think what they're trying to do is sort of like collect as many suckers as possible, you know, for them to send them this information so that they can use it against them later on. I think they know that Trump is going to strike all of this nonsense out as soon as he comes into power, which is why now, you know, after the New Year's, we'll push this to 2026, because I think they also know that there's a very, very high probability that this nonsense doesn't work under the Trump administration. So whoever sent them information, I'm sure they'll keep it somewhere so that hopefully the next guy is more in tune with their stupid games. And maybe then they can use this information against these people. I mean, that's what I speculate at this point.
Yeah. Rick, I know you're a lot less complimentary and hopeful for a Trump administration. Why don't you give your thoughts?
Yeah, I don't have a lot of strong opinions on this one, because like you say, we're not tax experts, right? So, hey, listen, the last person you want to listen to about taxation and advice on that is me. But what I would say is, like, the interesting thing that popped into my head about this story was, I wonder how many Bitcoiners would actually be able to comply with something like this anyway. Like, man, I mean, you know, I've been around in Bitcoin for 10 years. I don't know how many transactions I've sent. I don't know how many old wallets I've... Do you know what I mean? I, like, most people, I think, who buy Bitcoin, and maybe even the ones who withdraw it into cold storage, I don't think they're going to be particularly diligent about, like, labeling their UTXOs and, like, managing their Bitcoin in a way that, even if they wanted to comply, they would actually be easily able to go through and figure it all out. I think they'd have, like, a big problem on their hands, right? They'd have to go and find the transaction ID. What date did I get it? Which exchange did I buy that from? And do a lot of reverse engineering. So, yeah, I mean, they just want to make things as painful for you as possible, right? Like, I think the tax system in the US sounds a little worse, actually, than in Europe, because as I understand it, you have to guess how much tax you owe the IRS. And then if you get it wrong, they fine you. But if you ask them, well, how much do I owe you? They'll say, well, we don't know. And then it's like, well, how did you know I got it wrong then? I don't understand the US system at all. That sounds completely bonkers to me. But, like, if you think people struggle with that with dollars and bank accounts, can you imagine them trying to do it with Bitcoin? I mean, most people don't know fully how to, like, run nodes and send transactions and label their UTXOs and stuff. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. I'm not going to tell people to ignore the IRS. That would be terrible advice. But I'm not in the US, so I tend to not worry about them too much.
Yeah, it's like the meme, the IRS, pay us taxes, me, how much do I owe? IRS, you have to figure that out. Me, what if I get it wrong? IRS, we'll throw you in jail. It's like, that's kind of the way things work here in the United States. Yeah, I can't imagine doing it. And being in Bitcoin 10 years, I can't imagine how you would go about that. That seems absolutely wild.
Well, I don't want to explain to them, like, you know, what was this transaction to the Silk Road in 2050? I couldn't possibly tell you.
All righty, Rick. So up next, do you want me to show the website, or this is sort of our big news of the day? We're launching a new website at thebitcoinway.com. Everyone should go check it out. Do you want me to put it up on the screen, or you just want to talk about it?
Sure, yeah. Throw it up for a couple seconds, yeah.
So beautiful. And Rick, hats off to you. Before you talk about it, hats off to you. You have worked very, very hard on this for a very long time, and our developer and all the rest of the guys have all contributed, but it looks amazing. Why don't you you sort of give the lowdown on what you were doing here?
Yeah, like oh man, it's been a labor of love working on this website, you know. The exciting thing, I think, is that we set a target that we wanted to launch on January 3rd, which is the same day that Satoshi launched Bitcoin. Now, I'm not going to try and claim that this launch is as auspicious as Bitcoin, right? That's clearly not the case.
It's up there.
But, you know, what I like about that is, you know, like, we want to demonstrate to people that when we set a target, we hit it, right? So we wanted to launch on this day, and we launched on this day, and I'm really, really proud of that. And, you know, like you say, man, this is a huge team effort, right? Like, Luke, our video editor, like, there's videos all over this website with Tony explaining our services and stuff. And, like, man, just the amount of work and the care and attention he put in to get it all pulled together. Our developer, Chris, give him a shout out. You know, like, we're working late into the night. I'm sending him messages at stupid o'clock in the morning, you know, like, oh, there's a comma missing in this sentence. Like the amount of time we spent with a fine-tooth comb going through it. So it's really exciting. And, you know, my hope for the website more than anything is just that it's really useful for people, right? You know, explaining what we do to someone who's like maybe completely new to Bitcoin is sometimes a bit of a challenge, right? We start talking about nodes and we start talking about hardware wallets, and most people, you know, walking down the street don't know what air gapped means. So, you know, it was important, I think, to try and explain our services in a way that's really accessible and that they can understand. And, you know, I think Tony, you know, is everyone knows Tony's a brilliant orator and explains things very clearly. So, you know, it seemed obvious to me, well, we should get Tony to make videos and explain the services, because it's so much better coming from Tony than just in text. And we've got videos on there. We've got, you know, tons and tons of really good blog posts. Yeah, just absolutely buzzing. It's been a labor of love, and I'm excited for everyone to go and check it out. So yeah, like head on over if you're watching to thebitcoinway.com and let us know what you think.
Absolutely. If you enjoy the FAQs and the glossary, you're welcome. That was yours truly. Hey, Tony, what do you think? Any other comments?
Yeah, I'm incredibly excited on this release, man. This is what happens when you've got countless hours of work put in by, you know, very passionate and mission-driven individuals. I mean, this is teamwork at its finest. You know, so many hours and, you know, brainstorm sessions have been put together in order to fine-tune this as much as possible. So to reach, you know, as much mainstream like people, you know, like we want to fast track the adoption of Bitcoin proper self-custody to as many folks as possible. And we're continuously trying to fine tune that process so that it doesn't seem intimidating. So people don't feel, you know, anxious or stressful about the process. This is not nuclear science. You know, it's just a series of brand new steps that, you know, we work, you know, feverishly to simplify on a regular basis, so that's something that anyone, no matter what background you come from, can comprehend, right? So hopefully this website, you know, resonates with more of the general population, and it removes any, you know, apprehensions or intimidations. You know, anyone's welcome to call. It's a free 30-minute call. You will talk to a friend in plain English. There's no fancy vocabulary during any of these calls. And you are welcome to ask anything you like. You know, even if you think it's a silly question, we welcome you to ask it anyhow. Because again, like I keep reiterating this, the mission here is to make you confident with this process as if it's something you've been doing your entire life. And we will never stop, you know, fine-tuning this on a regular basis based on feedback that we get regularly from amazing people from all over the globe.
Well said. Alrighty, last bit of news. This is just a fun one. The Oxford English Dictionary added the word Satoshi, as in, I think this is in reference to fractions of a Bitcoin, not to the man himself. Rick, I'm going to let you, this, I feel like you and I have had so much back and forth on what the English language really is. So I'm going to let you kick this off, and then maybe I'll 1776 you and try hitting back.
You know, Michael, I didn't realize we were having your first English lesson today, but I'm excited for it, right? So, like, it's funny we've just been talking about this website, right? Because, like, there's something I definitely want the audience to hear, which is if you go through the website and you see that sometimes the word centralized is spelled with an S, the correct way, right? But then sometimes you maybe read another article written by someone else, like Michael, where it's spelled incorrectly with a Z in it. Right. This isn't like us being inconsistent. There's like an internal, it's almost as heated as the block size war, right, inside the Bitcoin way about the proper way to spell things. Like I'm obviously British, so, you know, words like color, they have a U in them, right? Whereas, so every time I write a newsletter, right, it goes into the group and everyone gives me feedback. And every single week, Michael just goes through and picks out every word that's spelled the English way to give me this feedback, and then there's memes going back and forth. So I'm totally off topic now. Like Satoshi went into the Oxford English Dictionary, which is great, but my favorite thing about this story is that Michael is now aware that the Oxford English Dictionary exists, and maybe he will go through it and find the correct spelling.
Oh man, I don't even know what to say. I just feel like you guys leave like the poor letter Z, like it's, you know, it's just hanging out at the end of the alphabet all by itself. Like, give it some love, put it in some words. And U is a vowel. It gets used all the time. Like, you don't need to drop that into a word that everyone knows what it means without it. I don't know. Tony, you don't have to chime in on this debate. I mean, you can leave this to us if you want, but definitely, what are your thoughts on Satoshi? No,
it's always fun watching the internal banter at the Bitcoin way, you know, over this topic. It's an S. No, it's a Z. No, it's a Z. No, it's an S. Potato, potatoes, man. The message is clear either way. You know, both spellings are awesome. But the fact that, you know, the Oxford Dictionary now is starting to increase its word count, you know, with Bitcoin vocabulary is unbelievable. You know, you'll start seeing HODL, you'll start seeing, you know, like all sorts of craziness now show up that'll become like slang at some point, you know, become like common knowledge, you know, part of the English language going forward. It's great.
Well, Tony, I don't know if you noticed, but like if you go to the Oxford English Dictionary now and you look up the word donkey, they've actually changed the definition now, and it just says someone who sells their Bitcoin for dollars. They're listening to your podcast, man. Like, they're paying attention.
Anyone who involves a third party custodian in the security and safeguarding of their Bitcoin, thinking it's safer.
Well, Tony, your response was about as diplomatic as I've seen you. I appreciate you walking that fine line between Rick and I. So, guys, this was fun. For everyone listening, thanks for tuning in. Go to thebitcoinway.com/podcast. We'd love to chat with you about how we can help you take proper self-custody of your Bitcoin. No counterparties. Don't be a donkey. We can help you with online privacy, privacy phones, Plan B residency options. Again, that's thebitcoinway.com/podcast. And go check out our new site, thebitcoinway.com. And we hope to see you, chat with you soon. Gentlemen, thanks as always for the time. Look forward to catching up again in a few days.
Thanks, Michael. It's been great.
Thanks, Michael.
Cheers.